Good morning. If you'll turn in the Bible in the pews on page 677, we will be reading from Jeremiah 18, 1 through 11. And if you're using, like I'm using, the big red book with the large print, it's found on page 881. And I know if anybody wants a large Bible that isn't in your pew, if you'll just ask the usher, they'll be glad to get you one. Okay, this is God speaking. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Come, he said, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel, as it seemed good to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. Can I not do this with you, O house of Israel? Just as this potter has done, said the Lord, just like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. At one moment I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck it up and break it down and destroy it. But if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will change my mind about the disaster that I intended to bring on it. And at another moment, I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it. But if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will change my mind about the good I had intended to do it. Now, therefore, said the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus said the Lord, look, I am a potter shaping evil against you and devising a plan against you. Turn now, all of you, from your evil ways, and amend your ways and your doing. But they say, it is no use. We will follow our own plans, and each of us will act according to the stubbornness of our evil ways. Therefore, thus says the Lord, ask among the nations who has heard the like of this. The virgin Israel has done the most horrible thing. Does the snow of Lebanon leave the crags of Syrian? Do the mountain waters run dry, the cold flowing streams? But my people have forgotten me. They burn offerings to a delusion. They have stumbled in their ways in the ancient road and have gone into bypaths on the highway, making their land a horror, a thing to be hissed at forever. All who pass by it are horrified and shake their heads. Like the wind from the east, I will scatter them before the enemy. I will show them my back, not my face, in the day of their calamity. And then they said, come, let us make plots against Jeremiah, for instruction shall not perish from the priests, nor the counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come, let us bring charges against him, and let us not heed any of his works. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All right, now if you'll open your hymnal to the back, to page 854, let us read responsibly Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know that when I sit down and when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from you. You cast out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even a word is on my tongue, O Lord. You know it altogether. You pursue behind me and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, and I cannot attain it. Whither shall I go from your spirit? Or whither shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, let only darkness cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as day. for darkness is as light with you. For it is you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for you are fearful and wonderful. Wonderful are your works. You know me very well. My frame is not hidden from you. When I was being made in secret, intricately wrought in the depths of the earth, your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book was written the days that were formed for me, every day before they came into being. How profound to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God, and that the bloodthirsty would depart from me. Those who maliciously defy you, who lift themselves up against you for evil. Do I not hate them that hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe them that rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them as my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and hold in me of everlasting.
Let's turn now to the epistle lesson, which is darn near the entire letter of Philemon. It's found on page 203 in the New Testament Pew Bible. And if you're reading the large print Bible, it's on page 263. Hear these words. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, to Apphia, our sister, and to Acrippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith toward the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. For this reason, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty, yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man, and now also as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I am appealing to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, because now he is indeed useful, both to you and to me. I am sending him, that is, my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me so that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent, in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I am writing to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's turn now, as we have been for so many weeks, to the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke. Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 33. It's in the Pew Bible in the New Testament on page 73. And if you're reading the large print edition, it's on page 94. Well, Let us consider these words. Now, large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Wow. These statements from Jesus in the Luke reading are a lot to swallow. Come on, Jesus, you can't be serious about this. Are you? Surely this is hyperbolic language designed to catch us off guard and an exaggeration that will shock us into listening to you, right? Let me get this straight. You said, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. So therefore, none of you can become my disciples if you do not give up all your possessions." Those were your words. So, Lord, in order to be a disciple of yours, I'm supposed to commit myself fully to you and to place you above my family and even my life. I'm supposed to pick up that Roman cross and follow you. And I'm supposed to give away everything that I own, all the stuff that I have, my house, my car, my clothes, my TV, my electronic toys, everything. Did I get that right? You bet. That's what it takes to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Wow. Okay, now let's all take a deep breath. Let's remember that this same Jesus of Nazareth said this too. "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Well, this challenge from Jesus comes in the middle of what we refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. So let me put it into that statement into its proper context. Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, 'An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth,' but I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard it said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Jesus meant every word, just as he spoke it, as plain as day. Well, let's remember that this same God spoke these words to Jeremiah. Come, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. The vessel that he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hands, and he reworked it into another vessel as seemed good to him. And the word of the Lord came to me, Can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as this potter has done, says the Lord? Just like the clay in the potter's hands, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Well, this very day, you and I need to hear these words of judgment and realize that this is not about condemnation and punishment. It's not about anger and destruction, but rather it's about God's eagerness to help us, His children. God's judgment is about mercy and compassion. God loves His people so much that the master potter is always ready to recognize when we have gone astray. And God is always ready to remold us into the people we ought to be. And as difficult as it can be, each of us needs to be open and receptive to recognize our need to be judged and reformed, transformed into the image that God intended for us. Well, these words from Jesus in the Luke reading may well be hard to hear, but let us not fool ourselves into thinking that Jesus didn't really mean it, and that he certainly didn't mean it for us Christians in the 21st century. He meant it then, and he means it now. This is the standard that Jesus has set for us to become disciples of Christ. Can you bear the cost? Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions. These are the goals, the standard that Jesus has set for those of us who would be his disciples, for all who would live the kingdom life. Is it difficult to be a disciple? You bet. It is difficult, and Jesus doesn't ask you to do it alone. This same Jesus also said to his would-be followers, Come to me, all you who that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. From the very beginning with John Wesley, Methodists have always understood that they stand together in their love of God and in their hatred of sin. And just like the master potter, Methodists love each other and they judge each other with the sole purpose being to increase each other's faith. Methodist people help each other to become disciples of Christ. It is difficult, and Jesus doesn't ask you to do it alone. And so, my sisters and brothers, I ask you once again, can you bear the cost of following Jesus? Amen.